All right, I want to greet y'all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be here with y'all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just ask, Father, your blessing upon this time together. Lord, we ask that you would give us wisdom. Lord, help us, Father, to be faithful to you. Lord, we ask you to fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and help us that we would come more and more to resemble you. Lord, we just ask that you would be with Kevin's and their family. Lord, just ask that you'd help them. Lord, we just ask again that you'd help us be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to the wisdom of Sirach. Chapter 30. Maybe not everybody has this. These books in their Bible, these are the Apocrypha, come out of, and it's something that was in the Bible until the mid-1800s, and they took it out then, but it had always been there before. And it's something that the early Christians quoted quite often. There's just a lot of good things in it, and I think it didn't fit, some of it didn't fit the theology of the time. And anyway, this book, The Wisdom of Sirach, chapter 30, verse 1, it says, "The man who loves his son will chastise him often, so he may rejoice with him in latter years." You know, a lot of times when we think of chastising, we think of just really, you know, getting a rod out and just beating the daylights out of them. That's kind of what we think. A lot of times what we're led to believe, you know, whenever it says train up a child the way he should go, that's what people think. There's verses that indicate that if you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. But when we look at this verse, chastise or sparing the rod, it doesn't always mean that you just got to take something and beat them with it. What it is, you know, sometimes to chastise someone, a child especially, is to correct them in a way that they have to think about it. Or to correct them, to chastise them, sometimes is just saying things to them that corrects some children. You know, you just look, they have a frown or look at them bad and they just melt. You know, we don't have to just grab a rod up and beat them every time. You can chastise them, or you can just by the way you're saying. Sometimes something taken away from them, the privilege or something. There's more ways to do that, you know, than just grab a stick and beat them. There's times that needs to take place, you know. But mainly it's when they have just flagrantly disobeyed and they're challenging or they're manipulating or something, that sometimes that's a necessity. But if you'll notice, this is not talking to the children. This is talking to the parents. That's one of the things that I've often said. You know, raising children is easy. It's relatively easy. It's training the parents that's difficult. You know, if a parent has a child and they focus on their responsibility of this life that God has given them, if they focus on this child and their goal in life is to raise this child up to be a good person, a godly person, and that's their, you know, that's whenever you think about this thing about marriage and family relations between men and women, what's the purpose of it? It's for children. And the purpose of the family is not so the man can be a big success or, you know, today we talk, you know, the man focuses on his career and so the woman has every right to focus on her career. And there's this battle between these two things and which is right, you know, the man's career or the woman's career, which would have the prevalence? And the family just gets left aside. Usually winds up getting split up, broken up, tore up. The children suffer the scars because daddy wanted a career or mommy wanted a career. And the children have to live with this. Their whole world's being torn apart. That's one of the evils of the world. God created a man and a woman not so they'd be satisfied, but He created those two different people so that they could have a family. From the very beginning, the purpose of the man and woman was not just so the man could have a good time or just for the women to have a good time, but or explore all the wild things that are out there in the world, but it's for having children. That's the, you know, that's the purpose of it. It's what we were created for. And as we have these children, God has given us this little soul that's going to live forever and ever and ever. And He has given us that power to influence that little soul's life. You know, we have the idea that just because we have given a little soul and we take them to church that we've just done our part. You know, and sometimes and this is what I want to get more to, sometimes if we're successful, as we've raised our souls, little souls that God has given us, we have the idea that they're all going to be just like me. But you know, if we're honest with ourselves and we've actually raised them with the correct amount of letting them have their wills, sometimes they're going to go away. You know, if we look at God, He gave man everything that he needed. Blessed Him, gave him a wife in the Garden of Eden, had everything. And yet that man went away from God. Does that mean God was a failure? Absolutely not. It means that He gave another creation, another being, an opportunity to make a choice. You know, God didn't create robots. He doesn't, you know, man's trying to create robots to make everything perfect. That's not God's way. God made you and I with the ability, a will to choose whether we're going to serve Him or we're going to serve ourselves. And part of that ability means if we're just going to stay with His will or we're going to do our own thing. And the beauty of it is God is big enough to let us choose. You know, we talked last week about, you know, letting go, letting someone, God's big enough to let us go, to make our own choices. Satan is not big enough to let anybody go. He will not let anybody go. They have to be taken from him. And it took blood, the blood of Christ, to take souls away from him. He just will not let them go. You know, we have to be pretty big to be able to let someone make their own choices. The family. When we start a family and we begin having children, children aren't the third or fourth or fifth thing that we're to be concerned about. They're not just the little baggage that we carry along with us, make sure they have plenty to eat, and they're cleaned up once in a while. But we're going to do everything else first. My life, my career, my job, whatever. That innocent little soul, that innocent little being, absolutely helpless without your nurturing and care, it would die. Is depending on you. Focus. The focus is on parents. Just loving what God has entrusted to them. Loving them like God loves us. You know, there's hardly any thing further from God than denying what God has created as far as children. You know, a mother being able to put to death the little thing that God has given them. That's one of the furthest expressions away from God that we can have. And our society today just tries to tell everybody that's normal. You see, when to return to God, you know, is to return to what is normal. To be what God wants us to be. And man and woman, the whole thing is about family and raising a family. And so for us to neglect those things whenever they're little is to completely be going against everything that all creation is centered around. Returning to God is just returning to the very simple things that I'm a man, you're a man, some of you are women, just being what God wanted us to be in the first place. And the heart of that is having a little family, having a family big family maybe. And the purpose is to love God with all our heart and to train up these little souls to have the same thing so that they can have the opportunity to grow up and serve God and to be a glory and honor to Him. Training children, get those things fundamental first. And then it's just what you do. There's going to be times you don't know what to do. Times you're going to make mistakes. But we have the opportunity. If that's our focus, it's what we do. That's why it's easy. Doesn't mean it doesn't take effort. Doesn't mean it isn't going to be a lot of work. But it's what we do. Training our children. You know, one of the things that we're conditioned to and have been for a long time is, well, we'll train them up until they're 3 or 4 or 5 years old, and then we just let them go. Send them off to school and let somebody else take care of that. But you know, in the Bible, there's, you know, it talks about one place about giving them over to a tutor or giving them over to someone to teach them something, a little bit of something. But that's not the standard here. The standard that God has given you children, they're your responsibility to teach. Not the government's. Not the world's. You know, this, we forget that the world is the enemy of God. And when we just give our children to go let the enemy teach these precious little things, impressionable little souls, you know, when God gave them to you to take care of. But we're too busy. You know, I've got my career. I got to work. Mom's got to work. So we can have everything we want. And so we'll just give our children to the world. Let them have them. Let somebody else teach them. And you know, in today's time, they're going to be teaching them things that you never even thought of yourself. You know why there's so many children confused in the world today? Is because some pervert is teaching them that they ought to be confused. And that it's normal not to know whether you're a boy or whether you're a girl. They don't even need to ask. That question should never even come to a child. God made them male and female. And anybody that's telling them anything different is straight from hell. But I'm going to send my children and let them teach them anyway, teach them all those things. They know more. They've been educated. They've learned. They've gone to school. Wait a minute. They got sent off, taught these things, went to college, learned these things, how to teach these things, and now they're teaching them to our... Oh, where did it all start? Whenever mom and dad didn't take care of their own little souls that God had given them. The whole system, the school, the colleges, it's all the world. Well, my child, you know, we want them to learn. We don't want them to be ignorant. Well, I do. I want them to be ignorant of all this stuff that's going to pollute them and poison them. God has given us these little children to nurture and to bring up in the way they should go. You know, some people say, well, you know, if you keep your children at home, they'll come out just all messed up. They won't know how to associate and learn with people. They won't know how to function in society. You know, if you have a child and you teach them to love their brother and sister, respect their father and their mother, take care of the little ones. Jesus said the greatest thing in the world is to love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, if a child in a family learns how to respect those in authority, learns how to get along with their siblings, learns how to take care of the little ones under them, they'll know how to take care of their neighbor as herself. And they'll know how to get along with other people because that's what they learned at home. And all the garbage that they get going around hanging around with all their buddies all the time, that's not teaching them those things. They're not learning anything then. They're learning trouble. They're learning all kinds of things that you probably don't want them learning. And God knows they don't need to learn. That's why even here, it's learning to get along. Loving, not just learning to what we can go do. You know, one thing about letting everyone else choose, make their choices. Having a will of how they're going to train their children. You know, not everybody's going to have them trained the same way. We got to learn to respect other people's differences. But we got to make sure we keep ours and do our responsibility. We nurture. We protect them when they're innocent. And you know, you look at it in almost anything in nature, and the precious little tender lives are protected by a mother or father, by a parent or some type. You know, if you just plant any old seed out there in the grass, it'll die. Can't survive by itself. A gardener, a farmer, it's got to be nurtured and protected and taken care of. And as it grows, you know, it begins to get stronger. They have a thing whenever a garden, you plant and you keep them protected in a little nursery of some kind. And then as it gets bigger, you set it outside and let the wind blow on it. And you let the sun beat down on it a little bit. And it, what it does is they call it hardening off, weaning. As it was, and they've just got to learn to get the strength to stand on its own. And then pretty soon you put it in the garden, but still got to protect it from the weeds that'll attack it and grow up. But you give it all the opportunities you can while they're young. Pay attention to your children. You should know your children inside and out. And learn when they're manipulating you. Learn when they're lying to you. Learn when they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, when they're shirking, not taking care. You should know all those things. Not that you're being a tyrant. You got to let them make mistakes so that they can learn on their own. You correct them. You chastise them. I've said it before. If children have to be punished all the time, it's because they weren't trained. It usually, not all of it, they've got their wills. But a lot of the time, it's because the parent didn't take the time to train them the way they're supposed to go. And even then, just like God set Adam in a perfect place, all the training he needed, he still made a choice. We've got to let them make their choices. You know, I just thought of an example of a tree. A great, big, strong tree out in the forest. Just massive, overbearing tree. It drops its seeds. Big old oak tree, maybe. And it drops all the acorns. And they fall underneath it. And oh, they grow, they sprout up and they grow, you know, they get some strength. They're protected under this massive tree. But as the little trees begin to grow, you know what happens? If that big old massive tree doesn't let some sunshine in on the little ones, begin to let them get out on their own, they die. They can't get any sun. They're overshadowed. You know, you go into a forest, there's all kinds of little growth everywhere, but right under that big old massive tree, they've just dominated to where there's hardly anything can grow. You know, we watch them. We nurture them. We nurture them with the goal of being able to set them free and letting them go. Letting them make choices, good or bad. I think you see the focus this morning. Pay attention. But a 10-year-old isn't a 2-year-old. And a 10-year-old isn't a 14-year-old. And a 14-year-old isn't a 20-year-old. You see, as we nurture them, we get stuck sometimes in them being a 1-year-old. You've got to pay attention that as they grow, you've got to grow. Verse 2, it says, "He who disciplines his son will profit by him and boast of him among acquaintances." You know, this is just a natural. After you've trained your child and he begins to grow and learn, you know, you've probably all heard of the guy that's so proud of his son because he's just following in his steps. You know, it's a real neat thing. Sometimes you get tired of hearing about, you know, somebody bragging on his son and doing things. And there again, the problem is that sometimes we are so critical of them that we never even want to say anything good about them. We've got to be awake. we can't, just like everything else, they don't grow well under solid criticism. You don't have to just give them a trophy every time they do anything. But a good job once in a while don't hurt. The man who teaches his son will make his enemies jealous and will rejoice exceedingly over him among friends. When his father dies, it is as though he has not died. You know, I read a deal this morning that after we die, all we're going to be is a memory to somebody. What kind of memory are we going to be? What kind of memory are we going to be? Now, we've said before, we hope that our children go past us. Well, you know, you got to keep your branches in, tucked in a little bit before the sun, so the sun and the rain and everything can get down to them where they can grow past us. While he lived, he saw and rejoiced in him, and when he died, he was not grieved. Before his enemies, he left behind an avenger, and to his friends, one who repays favors. He who spoils a son will bandage his wounds, and at every cry, his heart will ache. You know, this is part of training. You know, we don't like to see him hurt. But we gotta let him hurt. The best thing we can do whenever they're hurt, if it's not bad, don't run and cry for them. Tell them to shake it off, it'll be all right. If they really, really, really need something once in a while, we can take care of that. That's not saying neglect them. But just because our heart aches, because we don't like to see him cry, we got to be real careful about that, because we're going to be more focused on us than what's best for them. He who spoils his son will bandage his wounds. Oh, when he gets hurt, he gets wronged, you poor little thing. Life is full of pain and suffering. And the more we learn to grow through that and teach our children to grow through it, the easier it'll be to cope with. A horse not broken turns out to be stubborn. See, we've got to train them. I don't know, broken. You know, whenever we've talked about this before, we don't want them broken. We want them trained. We want them corrected to guide them. There's nothing more useless, hardly, than the person with a broken will. They may look the part, they may do all the right things, but if they don't have a will, they've got less than what God gave them. Because God gave them a will. And our purpose isn't to break their wills, but to train them. You know, I used to train a lot of dogs. And sometimes in my ambition, I've broken their wills. Been too hard on them. Broken them. They're worthless after that. You gotta teach them to love you enough, to trust you, to listen to you. That's the goal. horse not broken turns out to be stubborn. You know, there's some really stubborn, some natures in children are just stubborn. And it takes some effort to get them through that. A son allowed to run wild turns out to be headstrong. You know, I've said it before. The little children just running wild, even in church. They may be kind of harmless, you know, because they're all the little size, but well, I tell you what, they can turn into a little mob pretty quick. They may not be breaking out windows and cussing people out, but they can still be pretty headstrong just because they're allowed to run wild. They kind of get their way. The little ones, keep them beside you. To the point that when they get a little bigger, you know, it's all right to let them do a few things, but you want them coming back to be beside you when they get a little older, to where they can feel comfortable being beside you. And as they get bigger, and they're about our same size and want to try out their own things, let's read this on here again. Pamper a child and he will frighten you. Play with him and he will grieve you. That's, we'll come back to what I was talking about. But, you know, we're not our child's buddy. God didn't call you to be a buddy. He called you to be a father. We do not have to entertain our children. Playing with them, you know, there's part of it. There's time for it. But that's not what it's supposed to be all about. If your relationship with your child is only about playing, you'll get this verse right here. He will grieve you. Do not laugh with him, lest you suffer with him. That's the same thing. It's all. I mean, if that's the focus, and you'll gnash your teeth over him at last. Verse 11. When they get a little bigger, do not give him authority while he's young. We give him a little bit of responsibility. But giving a young person too much authority is not good for them. And that's why, you know, today we live in a day where the young people have everything their parents had, just like that. It doesn't hurt for young people just to have to do their job without expecting a big title. Let them just do their job. And as they begin to do their job and become on an equal par, then the father can let them have a little more. But I'm talking older. I'm not talking just because they're 18 and talented and can do everything the father can do and maybe do it better. Let them learn to be content just to keep on doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then when they're promoted a little bit later, after they learn how to be what they're supposed to be, you know, we hire boys on the crew. And sometimes we just tell them, you're the trash man. There's nothing more aggravating to see the trash man strap on a tool belt and grab his tools and trash everywhere, and he's running around trying to put boards on the wall. Until you learn to be a trash man, then you can learn to carry boards. Then you can learn to hold a board, put a level on it. Then you can learn to put a screw in it. But until you get the trash man down part, Pat, don't matter how talented you could be, if you start skipping lessons, there's going to be holes in your life all the rest of your life. It doesn't hurt for a young man just to be what he's supposed to be for a while. I know it's ambitious and we want to get out and try our own thing and we want to be the boss. It's not good. Bruise his ribs when he's young, lest he become stubborn and disobey you. Discipline your son and work with him, so he will not embarrass you with his behavior. Work with him. That's what I've been talking about all the way through. You know, we can figure them out when they're babies, but they grow. They get bigger, and we've got to stay on top of things. Sometimes you don't ever get them raised. They're going to need your help all along. And the hardest thing is to begin to let them go. Anyway, just had a little title there, Raising Youngins. It's more about raising parents than anything, because we're the ones that neglect and lack. Anyway, well, anyone have anything you'd like to share? Y'all meet back here at 6 o'clock, Lord willing.